Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of TFG Radio. As you can tell, we are joined once again by John, back from his reenactment of the Mongol tribes hanging out of the yurt.
You know, this time it's actually semi-accurate. It's pretty impressive.
Uh-oh.
It's quasi-accurate. I was camping in a yurt that's not quite reenacting Mongolians, but it's fine.
Is it really camping if you're in a yurt?
No, well, I'm fine with that. I don't care. Natalie asked, well, hey, you want to go camping for your birthday? And I was like, sure, let's do the yurt at Lake Achuma. And she was like, that's not camping. And I was like, I know. You asked what I wanted to do for my birthday, and what I want to do for my birthday does not include setting up a tent.
Digging a hole for the latrine.
Yeah. Well, we would have camped there, too, and they had bathrooms there. But,
Takes the fun out of it.
No. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to hit the disagree button on that one.
I'm too much like Calvin's dad and Calvin and Hobbes, mm-hmm. where it's just like always like it builds character.
Mm-hmm. God.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. I was reading Genghis Khan and the Making of the Modern World for the second time.
Well, sitting in the yurt.
When I was sitting on the patio of my yurt, because this yurt has a patio. There's a porch that goes all the way around it. I was reading it. It was this is my second time reading it. I listened to it the first time when it came out. And I decided it was going to be my one reread for quarantine reading. I allowed myself one reread only.
One reread.
That's a good one, though.
Because I'm notorious for rereading books. Like, I'll read Lord of the Rings 9 times. I've read the Harry Potter series more times than I probably count.
Like, I reread Lord of the Rings every year.
Yeah, see. So I only allowed myself one reread, and it was that, because I only had listened to it.
Okay. I might actually reread the Foundation series, since the show's coming out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What's that?
Oh my god.
I'm not seeing landing you. I don't know what the Foundation series is. Is that the Wheel of Time thing?
No.
No, that's Wheel of Time.
See, I also have not read Wheel of Time.
I read it, but after he died I didn't finish it.
I've read like 12 or 13 of the books, so I'm like halfway there, I think.
Wheel of Time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wheel of Time is like 15 books, I think.
And it's not complete because he died?
It's complete. I forget who the author that took
Brandon Sanderson or okay. whatever. Brandon.
He took the notes that the wife allowed him, chose him, and he took the notes from the author's whatever and finished the books using that.
Okay. So that's not terrible.
No,
I mean, it's actually fine. Like, I've read the Brandon books and they're actually pretty good. I mean, you can definitely tell he's playing off a script. It's not very organic sometimes how things move, but he did.
It's not his story.
Yeah. Like, but for the situation, he did pretty damn good.
Hmm. What's Foundation then?
Isaac Asimov, right?
Isaac Asimov.
Oh, okay. I do know what it is. I just haven't read it.
Okay. It's a lot of books.
One of the primary influences of 40K.
Yeah. Right. I got it now.
You read Foundation and you'll see a lot of 40K in it.
Oh, I'm sure. I've heard that a lot.
But I'll have to I read it a long time ago.
I only have like 1.5 more weeks of reading before I have to go. Like 1 week before I have to go back to work, and I won't be able to do the quarantine reading anymore. So.
You have to actually pay attention.
Yes. Unfortunately.
So we're back. A lot going on. 9th edition.
Yep.
A lot of rules. We'll talk about a few of them now. Talk about the contest.
Mm-hmm.
Tom will hopefully be on later, and then we can talk about War of the Spiders.
It's fine. I'm running things again, so it'll go smoothly. It's not a big deal.
Is there anything particularly you want to talk about, John or Danny?
I'm juggling a baby.
Yeah.
You're juggling a baby.
Don't worry, I put it on the meme screen, so you're set. So let's see here. Reserves, no. Morale, no. Overwatch.
So there's been changes, a slight change to Overwatch. Everyone was excited. Everyone was excited that you actually had to pay one CP. Certain people made memes.
I don't know what you're talking about or referring to, even though there currently is one on the screen.
Certain people made memes.
Wait, what's up, memes?
And then the Tau faction focus came out, where it was discovered that the Tau are not affected by the 1CP Overwatch because they still retain their For the Greater Good ability.
Bullshit.
Seriously, right? What the hell?
Although I will admit someone did correct their meme.
I did. I did correct one of mine. I made several, but I did correct the one with the dog because I like that one the best.
Yes.
Yeah. All I know is I'm going to, for if you don't know, every more or less every Sunday I put up some kind of article for Frontline, most of them Tyranid in focus. And I was, like most other Tyranid players, super ecstatic to hear that Tau weren't going to Overwatch us anymore. And now this time I have to go back and be like, hey guys.
Womp womp.
Slight correction.
Yeah, slight correction.
You have to use terrain better, Danny.
Hey, I'm good at that. I don't know about everybody else, but...
So, it's, and as far as we know, it's the same restrictions, like vehicles don't have For the Greater Good. Some of the Taunar doesn't, I don't believe. I don't think the Storm Surge does either. But, we'll see, well, when they, and what they're gonna put out a PDF for every codex as to what needs to be changed to bring it up to the current edition, or what will be the current edition. So once we see that, we'll see what other armies can do, can't do, and we'll see how, and they gave us a little teaser on how it would change for the Tau. There's a slight change, but it's more or less the same. The same.
Yeah.
Not much.
Wonderful.
There, a lot of gnashing of teeth.
So amazing.
One of the interesting things, though, that it doesn't get factored in a lot is since you're now get punished with how many detachments you're taking, you're not going to see a lot of commanders because to take, unless you're playing Farsight Enclaves, because they're limited to one per detachment. So right. If you want three Cold Stars, you're going to have to pay some CP for it.
Yeah, that's true.
That just leaves room for more guns.
Mm-hmm.
Or more drones. We'll see how that... Well, they haven't. They didn't talk about Savior Protocol. So I wonder if that's...
Savior Protocol? The Necrons?
No, Necrons is Reanimation Protocol.
Oh, Savior, the drones.
Yes, the drones.
Got it.
So I'm wondering when they do the FAQ, or not the FAQ, but the update, if they're going to change how Savior Protocols works again.
That'd be so great if they like totally removed all the good stuff for Savior Protocols, but left in the Overwatch stuff.
I think people might be okay with that.
They probably will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's more or less what the Tau get to do still.
So, Born Again Manchild says, the fact that you can't fall back and shoot with fly keyword anymore still hurts Tau. Except if you're in combat, you can still shoot.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, the Riptide's still going to waste your ass in combat. It doesn't need to fall back.
Do they have vehicle and or monster tag?
I have no idea. I don't play
stupid blue
Trade Riptide- Federation guys.
If Riptides don't have the vehicle or monster tag, then they don't get to shoot into combat. Only vehicles and monsters.
I think it has monster.
I don't know.
You know what? I have every codex. I could just
say, bring up a codex.
Damn it.
Oh, sounds like a judge ruling.
Having to look up rules.
God damn. Soon it'll be spreadsheets.
I only look up rules ever when I'm judging the LVO.
I try not. I try to make them look up rules so they get used to that.
I know. That's all right. I'm the nice judge.
Okay.
What's important is you believe that.
Damn fucking right. Riptide has the monster rule.
Yep, so it's shooting your fucking ass in combat.
Yep, so whatever. Nobody cares anymore. GG.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, the only thing that would keep it from, I guess, if they... Well, they would have to do that if they, unless they want to go after an objective or something, if they really need to.
Right.
But I don't know how bad. Once a lot of this is hard to quantify because it's... Nobody's playing games with it yet. I mean, there's people that are playing games that are claiming their ninth edition, but they're really just playing open play.
Yeah, they're playing open play with published rules, which is not ninth edition, which I kind of hate that people do that.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just false advertising, dude.
Yeah, it's also, like, until we see point values, it's meaningless. Because if Riptides suddenly are, like, 600 points, well, it might be kind of a moot thing. Because they're like, haha, here's my Riptide list, and nothing else.
Right.
Maybe a couple drones, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know. And to the point the born-again man-child is making again, yeah, he only wastes the 1 unit in combat, but if you tagged all three in combat, one wastes the unit, and then the other two shoot wherever they want.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a, because it's also because it's a monster, it can target something outside of combat, assuming they're going to be able to waste whoever they're in combat mm-hmm. with.
Plus, like, a good Tau player, a competent Tau player, isn't going to be letting you tag his Riptides that easily.
Siegler. Yeah. Pulling.
Or Jeff, when he was playing BAO last year and he played Tau. Like, he's yeah. not letting you tag those Riptides. That's not the smart move. So.
Yeah, and then in that same vein, we also discovered that when you charge a unit, you have to declare you if you can't reach all the units that you declare the charge against, you
the charge fails. Charge. Yeah, I mean, I like that change. I always thought it was a little dumb that I can be like, hey, I'm going to charge all these things with this knight,
charging everything within 12 yeah. inches. That's usually the phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, so it makes it a bit more. You have to make a lot more choices.
Yeah.
A lot more failure points in terms of the game.
For sure.
And would hopefully go faster.
Yep.
So. Oh, no.
No, Tom joined us.
Oh, Tom decided to join us.
One of them video things.
It is one of them video things.
Of
course. How's the youngest guy on the podcast is the most technologically illiterate?
I didn't say illiterate. Maybe a bit of a Luddite?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I don't want people to see my face.
Capture your spirit. You lose your spirit.
Yeah. I learned that from that Native American man whose land I took.
Oh, wow. How many margaritas have you had?
Not enough.
Not enough of that joke?
Nope. I had that double shot of tequila about an hour ago, and since then, I have sobered up completely.
That doesn't sound like any fun.
No.
You're not sober, don't lie.
Well, in about 5 minutes, I won't be.
You know, I'm just going to say, long after the Rona is gone, please, please, please let the takeout drink stay.
Oh, yes, I know. For sure, right?
God, I love takeout drinks so much.
Yeah, it's the best. This is the best part of coronavirus. I mean, it might be the only good part, but it's definitely the best.
There are multiple best things.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're just talking about how much Tower's stupid that they get to still overwatch. Yeah. as normal.
I'm wondering anyway how if they're going to change Savior protocols again.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. And I think that they're going to do more things considering that they got their. It was in a Twitch stream I heard something about the fly rule being changed.
Yeah,
we talked about that too.
Okay,
in that
Riptides don't care.
But Riptides don't care because they're monsters. They still shoot in combat.
Well, they still shoot combat, but like Riptides, like. I mean, depending on what you're shooting, you still don't want to shoot in combat. You want to get the hell out. Like, you know, if you're fighting Death Guard or Custodes, shooting them in combat is not that much different than, like...
If I'm playing against Death Guards or Custodes and I'm a Tau player and I let them hit my Riptides, I lost.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
really, the one thing is, yet again, who loses in Tau? It's Crisis Suits.
Yeah.
Hey, we fly! Oh, you tagged us. Yeah, we can't shoot in combat and we can't fall back and shoot.
Yeah, hazard suits are now named for the wearer, not for the enemy.
Nice, that's funny. I like that.
It's a punishment. You're like, oh, bro, you fucked up. Get in the hazard suit.
I think the ultimate troll will be when the points adjustments come out and Riptides are like 800 points each.
They're more than...
I wouldn't be surprised if they got...
What are they right now? Four?
They're like 200-ish before upgrades, and then like a fully kitted one is like 260.
Really? That's it? I thought they were like at least three. So that'd be awesome if they went.
They're 300 if you. They're 300 if you take Ion Tide.
Okay, so that'd be great if Ion Tide went from 300 each to like 450 each.
Oh sure, but like nobody takes Ion Tide.
Base cost goes from 230 to 430.
The other buff that Tau got by the, which is huge, is that since Riptides are monsters, and they ignore the penalty for heavy, they made it so infantry only suffer penalty for heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
one of the key pieces of war gear, or one piece of war gear that people argue about constantly with Riptides, is whether or not you take target lock, which is lets you shoot and ignore the movement penalty for heavy.
Yeah.
Which especially for Riptides, who are going from BS4 then to BS5, and then you're fighting Eldar, that could be like devastating. So target lock let you ignore that.
Well, they may just change that rule.
I think target lock's going to have to become a completely different piece of war gear, because right now, I mean, and that makes sense. That happened from 7th to 8th. There were like three pieces of war gear that just didn't make sense anymore, and then they ended up cutting one.
Target lock will be changed to add one to it.
Probably.
That would be amazing.
Or count as one higher marker light than the unit actually has.
Which is still amazing.
Yeah, target lock is add one marker light.
Well, how many pluses to hit do Tau have?
Inherently, you have to get marker lights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because they also showed us the max plus one minus one rule. Which
right.
Applies to shooting only right now.
Right now it applies to shooting one only, that's right. They did mention in one of the earlier streams it applies to saves, but we haven't seen that in writing. So maybe there's a caveat to that. But the fact that there's shooting caps is huge. Target lock being plus one to hit would be amazing for Riptides, but it also would be really good for Crisis Suits. Because Crisis Suits suck mostly because they hit on BS4. And now they're not infantry anymore. They're ignoring multiple heavy penalties, although they didn't really have any. Think about it. You know, they were all assault weapons.
Oh, okay.
Assault or rapid fire.
The other thing that came up, and we already have another, we mentioned a rules quandary last episode, and in regards to...
I don't remember this. What rules quandary?
You're busy at your yurt or whatever, having fun.
Oh. That's why I don't know, because I don't listen to the show from now on.
This was pre-yurt era, John, though. He wasn't at the yurt yet.
No, yeah, I wasn't at the yurt.
But look out, sir. They came, basically the old... commander rule or whatever, in character rule. They brought back this term, you look out, sir. Mm-hmm. And it's basically still under 10 wounds, 9 or less. They change it so they have to be within 3 inches of a friendly vehicle monster or a unit of 3 models or more.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, so the issue that's coming up now is when you have two units. What they didn't include was the rule that says that characters cannot block for other characters.
That's so not going to be inherent in the rule?
It's not, because you take two demon princes, which are monsters, and they're both less than 9 wounds. They're standing next to each other. They block for each other.
They hold hands. How cute.
They hold hands, yes.
Hey, buddy, I'll protect you. Okay, guy?
See, yeah. If you drop demon princes, if you drop the monster part, of, like non-monster characters, basically. You don't have to worry about it. Because if I have any two characters that are not following those rules, I can target either one of them per the rule itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But the monster characters, that's something you're
going to get around. The problem is that, is Gilliman a monster?
No, he's a Primarch, goddammit.
I think he has the monster keyword.
I think he does have the monster keyword.
Yeah.
Since you already made me look up rules once, I might as well look up another rule.
No, he does. I'm pretty sure he does.
Do we have to have John back?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, is that really needed?
Yes.
Considering
I supplied all the memes for the last show.
Oh, that's true. You're
doing can just do that at least.
That's true.
He's the meme lord.
I am the meme lord. That's true.
Meme chair.
The meme chair.
So
I sit upon the throne of memes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a monster for sure.
Yeah. So.
Oh wow. Interesting.
So now that seems... So you put him next to a vehicle that's less than 9 wounds, like a Dreadnought or Chaplain Dread. So you have two Chaplain Dreads standing
But he could be screened before.
Yeah, he could be, because he was a character. He was the...
And he was the guy less that than whatever wounds.
Well, yeah, but that's the same thing with the... but that's the same thing with the Demon Princes and the Chaplain Dreads. Is they can
so if it's all now, the same, who the fuck cares?
Tyranids.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Tyranids once again look at this character rule and are like, "Fucking I have tyrants."
I'm wondering if they're gonna change, if they're gonna put a FAQ out fixing
Wallers,
or if they are gonna fix it at all. They may not, which means I need to buy more demon princes.
Nah, I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, yeah, I only need one. I have two.
What is the rule? Don't build a list until you've seen the FAQ.
Yep, that is the Salty John rule.
trying to spend money.
Don't buy anything or do anything until you have seen the FAQ.
I thought it was the buying part, but yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It's whatever you do to get those models.
Don't do anything until you see an FAQ.
And make sure to sell before the FAQ.
Well, you should be selling now.
Buy, sell.
You sell before the second FAQ. You buy after the first one all the overheat OP janky shit, and you build your list, and then you sell after. Or you sell
hopefully,
right before the second
you
one.
Win a tournament or something, if there are tournaments anymore. Yeah, and then you can claim it's a winning army, or winning a tournament winning army.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do that.
I hear that's a thing. I hear that's
me too.
I hear playing games and winning is a good idea.
I wouldn't know what playing games is like anymore.
No. I know. How dare
so
you?
So that's the lookout, sir. We'll see what happens. We'll see if they even bother doing anything. They may not in the first few weeks or few months. You never know. Well, they may do it. We'll see. Because we still have the fall FAQ that's coming up. So that could be the first FAQ they put out for the game.
I mean, how are they going to put out an FAQ for a game nobody's playing?
Well, whenever it's released, I'm assuming it'll be released before September.
What, 9th?
Yes. We don't have official word yet of when it's going to release.
It better be July, damn it.
But if it is, then yeah, they have until September for people to play somehow.
They better release this game that I can't play soon. So I can continue to not play it. But just the new version, I'm not playing.
And the new version, I'm not playing. But
I didn't realize you were back on DACA.
Wow.
Me?
Well, yeah, that's like basically the website tagline. If you look at the header, it's we want the new edition so we can argue about it, not play it.
But that's everybody right now.
Oh, well, but they did it first.
They did.
I think Warseer did it first.
I was going to say Warseer or Bolter and Chainsword.
Bolter and Chainsword, right. We had to pay for it. God, that was the worst.
Ugh. You had to pay for that, Salt?
Yeah, I'm going to pay to argue with a bunch of people who know what the hell they're talking about. Sure, buddy.
I think Bolter and Chainsword is the only ones that's like still really around and relevant.
Dedicated fan base.
No, DACA still has a lot of people who go on it, but I don't think they use it for 40K.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I think maybe... Bolter and Chainsword is the only 40K related one. Dedicated one.
Yeah.
It's like people who don't go to malls anymore to hang out, they actually go there to buy something.
They're just monsters.
I haven't been to a mall in like a year or two.
I haven't been in several years.
I don't know when the last time I was, but I'm sure it was against my choice.
Mine is always against my choice.
I'm sure mine was not choosing to be there.
It was right for me, it was right before COVID hit because there's a like little arcade right by in the mall near us, so my son could actually play a couple of the games because they have like these like four toddler like driving video games.
Mm-hmm.
And so very quickly became like, fuck, we got to start doing this now, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, my kids love those, the driving video games. It doesn't end either. I don't know when it ends, but it hasn't yet.
So moving on. So one of the other rules we saw was the reserve rule. Basically,
outflank.
It's basically outflank.
Everything outflanks. Have fun, guys.
Everything outflanks. You pay the combined number, the combined power level of the units you're outflanking, and that's how much CPs you pay to do it. And from 1 to 9, it costs 1, and then 10 to 19, it costs 2. And then it just goes on from there.
Right.
So we'll see how many people are willing to spend, how much people are willing to spend in terms of CP, since we're limited to 12 to start with. You're playing Strike Force.
I don't think they'll be willing to spend that much, personally.
Well, 3 CPs would be up to, what, 29 power level?
Yeah.
That's one night.
That's not bad.
But that's for every unit you want to deploy under that level.
No, it's for all the units combined. Oh. So you pay 3 CPs. Let's say I have 5 units. It comes out to 24 power level.
Oh, yeah,
those 5 units, I pay 3 CP and all 5 of them come on the board. And they can come on the board any turn after turn 2.
I mean, let's put it this way. For certain armies, that's amazing.
They can start on 2.
But they have a much more limited deployment on turn 2. And turn 3, they get much more of the board area to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, your raider churn is going to change based on army. Like, right, so that's amazing for probably guard or gene stealer or cults, or if, I don't know if they have their own thing, but like, you know, like maybe even more MSU or horde armies. But like custodes, for example, where your 9 bikes are 50 power level, probably not a good investment.
Yeah, that would be right. 6 command. It's like half your command points already.
Yeah, when they also have a strat that just says deep strike 1 to 3 units for 1 to 3 CP.
Right. And they also said that units that already have innate abilities that allow them to go into reserves or deep strike are not counted against this. So the question is, could you have a null deploy army?
No, I guarantee you no.
They're gonna.
I'm sure someone was smart enough to be like, no. So why don't I deploy my army?
Right. I'm certain that got nipped right in the butt. I can't imagine that they would allow that.
I'm sure like maybe the strategic reserve rule that we have now that's like you can't have more than 50% of your mm-hmm. power level points right. in reserve is going to stay in some form.
Right? Sure, they might change somewhere, yeah.
They did.
So I'm assuming they're going to include the new reserve rules in that percent, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah, but I mean, the article actually did write, and I thought this was interesting, that it said, you know, you can put a lot of units in reserve, but don't be careful, or else you find yourself outnumbered very easily on turn one. Like, that was the time to talk about, like, a limit, I felt like. And I was like, so, I wouldn't be surprised, honest to God, I would not be surprised, considering there's a restriction on how far you can go in on turn two and how far you can go in on turn three, even. If they said, yeah, sure, null deploy, whatever, just, if you null deploy your entire army, you're gonna die by turn three.
No, because if they say the be careful about being outnumbered thing, it's gonna be, I bet you anything, that it's not a thing. You can't null deploy. They've gone so far away from null deploy that, like, I can't imagine them going back.
I could say that, I could see them being like a third.
Think of it this way in what they, show, because if, you come off your own backfield edge, you can come in within any distance of an enemy unit, so you can't block people mm-hmm. like you used to, so you can't do the old, like, bring your opponent's deployment zone.
Crew conga line.
Yeah.
Crew
so,
conga line.
Really thinking about these exploits, right? Like, I don't think they're going to let you null deploy. I don't think they want that.
I think that, especially that now that they're allowing engagement within 1-inch engagement when you come off your own, in your own deployment zone, because they do mention over, don't make sure not to overextend yourself, otherwise that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm sure there'll be someone trying to outflank or reserve everything in addition to whatever can deep strike.
Like in the first BAO of 8th edition?
Yes.
No, I can deep strike this Land Raider and my whole army. What? No, you can't. Yeah, it's 8th edition. Everybody around that table, excuse me?
It's 9th edition, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, 9th edition, I can do whatever I want. Excuse
now
me.
You can outflank Land Raider.
Excuse you.
Oh, yeah, now you can. See? We're already there. Someone was thinking way ahead, John.
Somebody listened to somebody they shouldn't have listened to.
Galaxy Brain. I don't know, I think...
That
really
was the
cool.
best when I was within earshot of that table, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. and his opponent, she was like, no, you have to have 50% of your army on the board. Yeah, and I can deep strike this Land Raider. No, you can't. It doesn't have a rule that lets you do that. No, it's 8th edition. I can do this.
Oh, God. It's like that old, what was that commercial where the woman has the wall and she has pictures on the wall? And the other buddy.
Yeah, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
I just can't wait. Like. I'm just going to play Grey Knights just so I can deep strike one Land Raider and then gate another Land Raider. Like, hey, dog, I heard you like weird deployment of Land Raiders.
I heard you like giant outdated tanks in your face. Here, have two.
Well, we'll see. I mean, with the new shooting into combat and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Land Raider Crusader might actually, and what's the other one? The Redemptor?
The Flamethrower?
Yeah, Flamethrower one.
They actually might not be bad, because as far as we can tell, they haven't listed Flamers as Blast, so you can still use them.
That'd be nice, because the first time ever that tank was good, it would be good to have the first time ever for that tank being good.
One in person. Oh, wait. I did. There was one up at the old store that was someone turned in for trade.
I have one of my 5th edition Salamanders army.
It was a Salamander. It was painted Salamanders.
Yeah, of course it was. And I think I used it in a handful of games, but it was not.
Yeah,
I used the God Pattern version, actually, with my Salamanders more. I used the Lice Cannon one to transport, like, 5 Thunderhammer Stormshield Terminators, because why not? Because I could have that move up, and I could Gate of Infinity 10 more with a Stormshield Librarian and be like, screw you, guy!
I'm going home. It's 5th edition.
I have 3 plus invulnerable saves in your mouth right now. Oh, God. That's how I made Chuck Rage quit one time.
Oh, the memories.
Salamander Army did it.
The legend foretold.
He killed 1 Terminator, and he didn't do it. It died in a river. When rivers had rules and they were dangerous terrain, and I rolled a 1. Oh, and the Terminator died, and that was the only Terminator that died out of all 20 I ran against him. I think that might be my favorite game of all time.
Really?
Yeah, that was a pretty good game.
I mean, I just saw the look on your face. I'm actually willing to believe that. I don't think I've actually seen you smile that meaningfully, and we just hung out the other weekend, like for the first time ever, so I can for sure say.
You haven't noticed, John likes crushing people's hopes and dreams. That's why he's a teacher.
Certain people's hopes and dreams.
For us, it's
quantifiable. It's not just anybody.
True. In addition, when they talked about the reserves, they also talked about morale these past couple weeks, which is a bit different.
Morale. Yes.
Currently, when you take a morale test, it's the D6 plus the models that died that win again, and then you subtract your leadership from it, and that's how many additional models are removed. And it's for horde armies, especially like orcs, which have a low armor, or cultists, you lose a lot of models. So usually when I would lose, like, if I had a unit of 30 and if I lost 10, I probably end up losing like 20 or an additional 5 to 10 at least.
Or spend 2 CP just to make sure that they don't all die. Or
spend 2 CPs, and there's there's no way to pass unless you were demons who on a 1, they would auto pass in addition to getting models back. So if you had a low leadership, like cultist leadership is leadership 6, I believe. As soon as 1 or 2 models died, you already knew you were probably going to fail that morale check.
or
you're just going to automatically fail if enough guys were dying, and you would just take off more models without even rolling. So things like that were a tough pill to swallow, so to speak, when using those armies. Now with the new morale test, they're calling it a combat attrition test as opposed to a morale test. Or if, in addition to the morale test, I should say. And they added that on a 1, your morale automatically passes. It's almost like the insane bravery from previous edition, where you rolled double 1s on a leadership check, you automatically passed.
Which is interesting, because now a lot of Tau models automatically pass on a 1 or a 6. Pretty good. Pretty good. Whatever. Actually, that doesn't really apply that much.
Because of the bonding knife?
Bonding knife is the reason they pass on a 6. But
no, it doesn't matter because they left the Overwatch rules the way they are and you're never going to touch them anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you
I can't hear all the sound of my Overwatch.
I think your mic has some water damage at 6. It was like something in the salt water too long.
Hey, man, truth is the truth. Whatever.
Henry David Thoreau, you're back from your pond.
How dare you use a transcendentalist against me? Fuck those guys.
Hey. I'm just happy you knew who it was.
God.
I teach U.S. history. How do I not know who Henry David Thoreau is?
No, the transcendentalist. That's the word I was looking for. There you go.
How would I not know who the transcendentalists are? They devote an entire subsection of a chapter to them, and I have to teach about it. It's in my standards, and it drives me nuts.
It's because America wants to be like, see, we have a philosopher too, you guys.
We have one who put our head in the oven.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Did you do anything meaning?
Did he do anything new? Kind of. he's a part of our books program that we enforce, so yes.
God, this guy's the worst.
So the morale changed a little.
Yep.
Now it's still similar in that you take a D6 plus the model is destroyed in the turn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So again, it's the player turn as opposed to the phase when before it was during the phase. Unmodified one, as I mentioned, is always a success. If it exceeds the leadership, only one model flees. So you're at least going to lose one model, which seems like a boon for horde armies. However, there's a second part called the attrition or combat attrition. So once you lose that model, you have to roll a D6 for each remaining model in the unit. And on each roll of a one, that model also flees.
Mm-hmm.
You subtract one if it's the units below half.
Yeah.
So if you're really bad at rolling dice, then I guess it's bad. I don't see it as bad overall. Maybe bad for smaller units, but for larger units, I don't see it as too bad because you used to lose a lot more units just from the current version of the morale. I don't know. What do you think, John?
My favorite part so far from the Horde players has been, oh man, this is so much better for us. And I'm like, but you're totally forgetting about all the other stuff that came out about you guys.
About blast.
Blast templates, charging multiple units, Overwatch Tau working the same way as always. Like, come on, guys, you're still just as bad.
It's called balance, okay? Some things go up, other things go down. I mean, you know, you get a little kick.
Some things stay where they are, and other things get pushed down further.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Tom, what do you think? You sound like you have a different opinion.
No, I think it'll hurt MSU armies a lot more than they realize off the bat.
Yes,
what I am curious to see is because they talked about specifically Night Lords and Dark Eldar having more of an effect on leadership, right?
Right. Yeah, they mentioned.
So, okay, you know, Night Lords can get to -3. I think same with Dark Eldar in an aura.
I think there's an aura. Then there's also if they happen to have a dreadnought or just decimator with butcher cannons, that's another -1.
Yeah, I mean, why not? So let's say you stack -3, and then so that means you fail probably your roll for initial leadership. I'm curious to see whether or not that affects the attrition roll.
I don't think it does.
That I mean, because
they just showed us the rule right now.
No, but the rule. What they have to do is the.
Oh, you mean when they do the updates?
Yes. So when they do the updates, it'd be interesting if they said, by the way, no, the Night Lord's rule, this rule affects, because technically speaking, those are both morale rules, right? Unless, yes. Is it called?
It just says combat attrition.
Right, but it's a role during the morale phase. So maybe if they say all roles during the morale phase, that would be interesting.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
That would be devastating, especially for MSU units, if a Night Lord's guy was like, yeah, it's -3 to your roll, and you've already lost, you know, 3 or 4 guys, you have a starting unit of 6, so I just killed one guy, and I'm gonna wipe you no matter what. Or it's like, okay, on, like, a Space Marine squad of 10 that fails, loses one, mm-hmm. and then at -3 would be losing a model on a 4+. Or a 4 below. And they roll 9, 10 dice. Yeah, they roll 9 dice on fours. That means they're losing another 4 Marines. That's like nuts. If that's how that works.
Assuming they don't know you, you lose one additional.
I mean, yeah, you'd lose maybe 2 in a 10.
Well, no, you would lose at minimum 1, maybe 2, because you're going to lose the one that dies. Then you're going to lose the one that flees, and then you're going to lose one additional from fleeing. So that's already 3 out of 10. You're already down to 7. Maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think smaller units are probably going to... I mean, the Marines get the reroll for their morale anyway.
Right, which is why they don't care as much. But, like Scions don't get a reroll. Scions are expensive 10-man units.
Yeah.
Custodes, you know, God forbid they fail for some reason. They don't have a fearless roll. They have to. I've literally had a unit of Custodes run because I failed morale. Granted, it was literally one guy, but it was one guy.
The Emperor's Golden Warriors run off the board.
Well, it was after the Emperor's Golden Warriors had gotten knocked from six bikes down to one, and I was like, oh my god, he lived! And then no I failed the morale roll, and I failed the re-roll. It was amazing. I rolled a six into a six.
No excuses.
At that point, I was like, okay, so beer?
So, that being said, on a quick tangent, what do you think, how effective or how will it affect the game once they get these PDFs? They've mentioned multiple times now that they're going to be coming out with PDFs for each faction and how some rules are going to be changed. They mentioned they showed the Overwatch one for Tau. We assume, like Tom just said, that they may mention something for Night Lords and Dark Eldar in that they'll change how, in addition to the debuff for leadership, there may be an additional debuff for the combat attrition, which would allow more models to flee. How do you guys see, especially your armies? How much do you see changing some of the stuff, or do you predict they'll change some of the stuff? Tom, you're on first.
Rules wise, okay. So I play Tau. We talked enough about that, and I don't really play them. I haven't played them in a while. Custodes and Grey Knights. So one of the big changes would be how, if they do anything to change the psychic phase. I haven't seen them talk about the psychic phase at all. I have no idea about any of that.
Yeah,
but
if
they decide to do some switcheroos about how the psychic phase works, like let's say they get rid of the rule of one cast, or they change how smite works, or any number of things, that would definitely affect how my Grey Knights work. Aside from that, I don't know of any rules particularly that would change them. Custodes, on the other hand, I don't think they're actually going to change anything, like rules-wise. I really don't. I just pray to God that they don't change the points too much for Custodes, because Custodes are already hella expensive as it is.
Maybe higher.
No, God no. They're already hella expensive as it is. They don't
40%
need to
increase grab the board. Done.
Okay, so I'm bringing Trajan.
We're back to second edition point level.
I'm bringing Trajan and three close combat dreads, and that's it.
Yes, that's it. That's all you get. Ninth
Games
edition
will go fast.
For the win.
Which means I can deep strike two of those dreads, and then Trajan's going to hide an objective, and the other one's just going to sit there.
Yeah. I'm in a similar place when it comes to knights.
Yeah.
Like, 12 CP, fine. I usually had 15. So, whatever. But if they go up too much, they're not playable. Like, yeah, it's just not playable. Like,
it's almost forcing you to take the smaller knights, the Hellverns and the...
Yeah, and then at that point, why play knights? The little knights are dumb. Sorry.
Yeah, for me, for Chaos, it does depend what they do with the psychic phase, how much they change it, or even change some of the powers. They may even change some of the powers, or add to them, or and then we also mentioned Night Lords. Like I said, the Butcher Cannons minus one leadership. I'm wondering if they'll add anything else to anything that debuffs leadership as like an extra special rule, especially for the Forge World ones, because we haven't heard anything about Forge World units yet.
Right. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
As mentioned, the points increase or point increase, hopefully. We'll see what happens. Maybe Obliterators go back to what they were before.
Yeah. If Space Marines, if it really is true that Assault will be better, which I'm not believing Assault's going to be better, not at all, then Space Wolves and Y-Scars will be much better. Especially with Assault and Intercessors being a thing. And it looks like, I mean, I would imagine there are troops choice because otherwise there's no troops choice in the box for 8th edition for Space Marines, which would be weird. And Intercessors are already troops choice. So the Assault version being a troops choice would make a lot of sense. But even then, if there's not a good boost to Assault and Tau remain unweakened in any other way, then why would you ever bring an Assault army to a tournament? You're going to run into Tau at some point. And on, you know, round four or up, you're going to run into one.
Well, you would do it for people who ignore Overwatch, like White Scars, or people who...
But then the question is, because they Overwatch like they used to, how good is the Ignore Overwatch on the one guy?
Because you don't take it on the one guy. You take it on a, like, a big-ass unit who, like, the thing is, like, White Scars more than anybody have the ability to not only pull off insane charges, but also pull off insane multi-charges.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a big unit of Assault Intercessors who come in off the board edge or outflank or deep strike or do whatever. You get them casted so they move closer in, unless there's a rule against it.
I'm sure there'll be a rule against it because they're currently
used. You can also give them a psychic power that lets them roll 3d6 mm-hmm. and ignores Overwatch, I think is how the thing works. So they go in, they multi-charge. If you fail the charge, okay, you're fucked. You know, whatever.
Which is the problem, because like you declare on a bunch of stuff.
And you have to make all of them.
So then what you... Right, exactly. So what you can do is, you know, you have them outflanked, so you spend your first turn... You know, Tau actually have a big weakness that I don't think people talk about as much, which is range. And they are a mid to short range shooting army. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Space Marines and Guard and other armies can do mid to long if they want to.
Yeah.
So you've got some artillery pieces in the way fucking back that the Tau are never going to touch. They're out of line of sight, which is even now even better given the way the terrain rules work. And they're just peppering. They just kill the screen off as fast as they can in those first two turns. You know, this little engagement, all of a sudden turn three, bam, that's when you just hit him with a sledgehammer, which is also amazing for White Scars whose doctrine activates on turn three anyway.
That's true. Assuming all that stays the same.
Yeah, and the same can apply to Space Wolves. I think there's one or two tricks that lets, maybe just one trick that lets them ignore Overwatch. I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. But with Space Wolves, you can also just like throw tons of blood claws. It's like, oh, here's 1500, like, shit ton of blood claws. Like, who cares? They can get shot at because, and that's the problem, right? Is with the Tau, like with Tau, you, you have to force them to make choices. So it's like, okay, well, I have to shoot its blood claw unit or else they're going to wrap a bunch of my shit or they're going to touch a bunch of my shit. Well, that means I have to shoot at least one thing. Am I going to actually kill everybody? Like, maybe I'm not going to. I have to dedicate now two things. Oh, but there's two blood claw units. Ah, fuck. You know, like it's, mm-hmm. There's ways you can get around it and ways you can be, you know, tricky. I just think that not every army is going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
with Chaos, I mean, it's really just the Warp Talons, and the Reptorial Host that can.
Doesn't one of the Emperor?
They have a Warlord trait that gives them +2 to charge.
Isn't there one of the Emperor's children? Sub-factions or even the factions themselves lets you ignore Overwatch?
No, they have a
Nightlords lets you.
I think it's a relic.
And I think Nightlords has something else that lets you ignore Overwatch.
Nightlords, I think, have something that keeps you in combat, actually.
Which is also huge for Tau, I think. Against them, anyways, because a lot of units, you just have, like, you, again, Riptides would much rather be in the backfield shooting than stuck in combat shooting.
Yeah. And then someone mentioned a little while ago in regards to what we think of the small but kind of significant change to how the fight sequence works.
So yes.
For those that don't know, one of the small blurbs, which is what they like to do apparently.
They always drop these, sneaking
it in the back door.
All of their gold, like when I first learned about the cap modifiers, it was during that early like series of Twitch casts, and he was like, oh, the Eldar Flyer armor, you're not gonna have to worry about that, cause like, flyers, we've balanced everything, and you know, we've capped modifiers to be -1 or +1 max, and then, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, for those that don't know, the slight change, as far as we know, so far anyway, is that after you resolve, the close combat for charges, currently, what you do is then that person whose turn it is, or the charges, resolve the charges, gets to pick one unit that's already in combat, and then they get to fight. So you're almost kind of like double dipping in terms of close combat. The new edition, apparently, your opponent actually gets to pick who fights next after all the chargers have fought. So your units charge in, they resolve their attacks after charging, and instead of picking another unit, your opponent gets to pick unit he wants to fight, which is probably actually a good thing after having been able to fight like 10 times before your opponent gets a swing. Can be daunting, especially if playing court circus.
I heard that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what you guys, I think it's fine. It's a small change, but I think it's somewhat significant because it actually it takes out some of the confusion you get when you have the always fight first special ability.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because I know that was caused concern for some people in terms of, well, when does he fight? Who does he fight? Can he fight? Or, you know, where is that in regards to units that charge? So at least they'll be able to actually fight first before your opponent gets to pick who gets to fight. I don't know if you have any other opinions about that new rule.
It seems fine.
Clarification.
It's better than it was. That's for sure.
Considering I was complaining in chat about something and then tuned back in to realize I had missed the explanation of the rule that I still don't quite understand. I have no comments on that.
Perfect. Way to go. Somebody in the chat says, yeah, but they made the board smaller, so 36-inch SMS will be insanely better, which is probably not a bad point.
SMS is 30 inches.
Okay. Still.
36. Well, missile pods are 36, and that is actually a big deal.
Yeah. Plus, SMS ignores LOS, right?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, so with the more terrain, and if with the more and probably denser terrain, I don't know how people are going to set up their terrain. Are they going to keep the same amount of terrain? Because that makes the board a lot more dense. Or are they going to take terrain pieces out? I've seen pictures with both.
I think it's going to be like based on tournament. Honestly, I think certain tournaments are going to have a reputation for being like, hey, this is more like 7th edition where it's a little more like spaced out and evened out, blah, blah. And then you're going to see some dense-ass like Cities of Death. You know, like...
Yeah, Boise Cup was kind of like that. They have some tables were super dense. Some tables were good, but didn't have as much terrain as the dense tables. And depending on what table you got, you know. But still good overall. I don't know. I guess it really depends if you're playing a shooty or an assault army. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, assault armies, you're just going to vote terrain all the way. It's always in your benefit.
Yeah.
Unless you're knights, in which case, get wrecked.
Knights or Mortarion or Magnus.
Well, at least Mortarion and Magnus have fly.
Sure. So, moving on. So that's more or less most of the new that have been coming out. We'll see new rules almost every day. Some days they talk about paint. Today I think they talked about
hobby,
backstory.
What the hell?
Yeah, things like that. What got released recently was War of the Spider. I know Tom wanted to talk about a little bit about it because Tom's excited.
I am excited.
What are you excited about?
Well, let me pull that up. That up real quick just so I can recap to myself what I'm excited about. But more importantly, I thought it was hilarious that at the exact same time I saw all of us in Google Docs log back into the show notes and Adam said moving on. And I go in and I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's just like Tom, Adam, John. So timing was pretty impeccable. I think we talked about War of the Spider a bit last time. And for me, honestly, the thing that I'm excited about simply just because they have some, oh, that's right, they have some nasty stuff here.
Glad you're prepared, Tom.
I didn't know I was going to talk about it, Doug. You just said War of the Spider, not Tom wants to talk about War of the Spider.
Nah. Aren't you the one with an army that's in that book?
Yeah. Yes, Custos. And I've got to say, there's pretty, some amazing things. Here we go. So, yeah, like, there's some amazing stuff. So, like, what is it? First, the Custodes now have the ability to, Custodes now have the ability to take shield hosts. So it's kind of like, specific legions, for example, having their own rule.
Yeah.
And then being under the umbrella of Space Marines. And it doesn't give them like a wide special rule. It's kind of more like the Thousand Suns cults where it gives them a relic and a leadership. Okay. Although I think, the Thousand Suns cult made you get a trait too, but I can't remember. I can't be bothered to remember that stuff. But like, there are some, like, okay, so Custodes got their own version of transhuman physiology, which is so good.
Yeah, that's a good stat.
it's so good. They also got their own equivalent of Duty Eternal, which is the Dreadnought strat, which halves incoming damage. And the thing is, Custodes have three, their Codex Dread is trash, so I don't even consider that something. I think of that as the literal custodian who actually sweeps the halls in a Dreadnought suit.
You mean there's Dreadnoughts for them that aren't the Telamon?
Exactly. So the Gallatus or the Achilleus or whatever, those two with their Duty Eternal, it just ups their survivability way the hell up because they're actually pretty nasty if they get into close combat. Telamon is still pretty good shooting from what I understand. Let's see. They also have a 4-up Deny Strat, which is interesting. It lets them, when they're targeted by a psychic power, so specifically not they deny a power anywhere. It's when they're targeted by a power, and it applies to the unit. It deny, that unit can deny it on a 4-up, 3-up if they're a warden, for 1 CP.
Huh.
Okay.
So it's actually technically better than the Iron Hand Strat in that it costs better, and they can actually go up on a 3-up if you're taking wardens, which if you're taking foot custodes, you should. Wardens are incredible. But it only blocks psychic powers directed to you. So if you're trying to block warp time, sorry, buddy. Doesn't work. They also have something that allows Terminators to ignore AP minus 2 for a phase, which is pretty good, but this is one of the coolest ones. For 2 CP, your opponent cannot reroll any dice when resolving attacks against one of your units.
Oh yeah, that one.
So it's like, that's basically like, oh okay, I'm not gonna block your Doom or Jinx, or I tried and I failed, but I'm just gonna play a strat and now you don't get to use it at all.
When can you use it?
As far as I know, it's in any phase. Whenever you're the subject of an attack.
Oh okay.
So in shooting, whenever you're in shooting, I don't know about psychic, but shooting and close combat. That's just amazing. between that and like what is it?
How many CP is it?
Cost 2.
Okay, it's not too
bad. And now that custodes, who usually want to only bring one detachment anyway, now have access to 12 CP and can now also regenerate it on a 5-up with a warlord trait.
Yeah. It's much better for CP change is big for custodes, it just depends on the point change.
That's true. It's funny, they were actually the little cartoon guys on that article specifically where it's like, everyone gets more CP. It showed two custodes laughing together. Like,
nice. It makes sense.
Some other cool things they got. An infantry unit can double the shot of its rapid fire or pistol weapons if it didn't advance for 1 CP. Hmm. So the axes and spears are normally rapid fire 2. So now they become rapid fire 4. So if you deep strike Alaris Terminators in within 9 inches, spent 1 CP. Now they're all rapid fire 4, strength 4 minus 1 AP, 2 damage. Pretty good. They also now have an extra warlord stratagem. So you pick a different character and that guy gets a warlord trait, which is also amazing because there are so many times you want to take 2 warlord traits. And now you can throw like one on one guy and one on another. And then they have captain commanders. So I think if you have a completely battle forged like whole detachment of just nothing but custodes, you can take a captain commander. It's a CP per, you know, spend per battle. There's like, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different options you can pick. But there's a couple really good ones. Switches an eagle, gives the guy plus 1 to move, advance, and charge, which is good on one character, but doesn't give it to anybody else. Strategic Mastermind gives the guy a five up CP regen, which means you don't have to take Trage of Dolores to get the, I get D3 back, it's just now you're generating 1 back, which is in addition to the command phase where you're getting 1 back anyway.
Yeah, they mentioned that in a bunch of their, Twitch streams.
The other go ahead.
Real quick. Which someone mentioned because they were talking about the Red Corsairs and Gilliman,
right,
where you get LCPs just for having them in your army in a certain way, and they mentioned that you still get that as far as I can tell. So,
which is crazy.
I mean, yeah, depending on the army, it's insane.
I'm playing Red Corsairs, and I'm getting 15 CPs at the start of the game.
Yeah, but then again, you're stuck playing Red Corsairs.
True. You're locked into that. And you're locked into that detachment.
Right.
Well, but Red Corsairs can advance and charge, so they weren't a bad gimmick to begin with.
No, but I just don't see a lot of legs on Red Corsair's pure lists. Like,
that's true.
It's still Chaos Space Marines. They're still playing Space Marines.
I mean, okay, so you can run the three Lord Discordant Red Corsairs and...
Yeah, you would almost have to.
Uber amount of CPs, but... Yeah. It's not like you can still take the small battalion of Red Corsairs plus the Chaos Knights. That would be different.
So the interesting thing about these Shield Captain bonus traits is they're on top of your existing Warlord trait. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
So here's one, for example. Indomitable Constitution, you get plus two wounds. You pair that with Superior Creation, which is a 5-up Feel No Pain, and all of a sudden you have a bike captain who's never going to die because he's rocking 9 wounds.
Mm-hmm.
5-up Feel No Pain, 2-up Armor, 3-up Infill with Arc Aquilus. Just that guy will never die.
Right.
The other really good one is Unstoppable Destroyer. This model piles in and consolidates an extra D3 inches, and when piling in can move towards any enemy model within range of the distance once that dice has been added. And consolidating can move in any direction. So it's like...
Oh, so it's like the Iron Hands one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except they just get flat six. This one, it's you get your 3-inch plus D3. And they specify when you move in, you know, I think, and this is kind of like the Iron Hand. Yeah, the Iron Hand one doesn't say anything about moving in. Yeah, you have to move towards the closest enemy. But when you're done, you're consolidating. That's when you can be like, yeet, out of engagement.
No, that's what the Iron Hands one does.
Yeah, except they just get a flat six.
Yeah, they get a flat six.
The other thing is that Unstoppable Destroyer, it says when piling in can move towards any enemy model. So you don't have to move towards the closest. So if I've got like Guardsman and then Warlord and I'm right here, I can move past him to the Warlord if I have that range with 3 plus D3. I don't have to go to the Guardsman. So they do get a little more maneuverability when coming into fight.
Okay.
Lastly, there's the Shadow Keepers. I'm not going to go into too much about them. The Solar Watch is actually really good, I think. So their Warlord trait is called Sally Forth, and it gives units within 6 inches of the Warlord a plus one to their move. And when they advance, they ignore the minus one to hit and can still shoot their rapid fire.
Not bad.
It's pretty good. And then for zero CP, when you kill a character, your opponent has to spend an additional CP on their next stratagem.
Oh, wow.
For zero CP. It's like, oh, I killed a character. You have to now spend plus one on whatever you do next.
You just have to remember.
It's not bad. Not bad for how we're able to go so far up in points, you'll be able to take Trajan and 3 Dreads.
That's true.
Well, if you can't tell, Tom's really excited about where the spider.
Specifically Custodes.
Which is fair. It's fair.
Yeah, there's some other stuff, but I won't go into too much detail because it's just there's other stuff.
Yeah.
The last interesting thing about Custodes is that they can now bring in Sisters of Silence as part of their army, and it doesn't break their rules.
Right.
So they now actually, so Sisters Army technically do have a home now. It's just,
so you can now buy that 2 model set and have it not be stupid because you can't use it.
Exactly. It's almost like they knew that was going to happen. The other
or
thing
they
is
did a quick pivot.
Yeah, they did a quick pivot. The other thing, though, is that this is actually kind of a big deal because let's say you're building a very, you know, I don't know, say bike heavy army. Like I can't think of anybody who tried to do that or wants to do that. I mean, definitely not in here. But let's say you are building a bike army or a dread army, and you need to like really crunch out those points. Sisters of Silence are, you know, squad for squad, much cheaper than even Custodian Guard.
Mm.
So they serve two really great purposes. The first being, and I'm not the first to think of this. I'll be the first to say that. I there's plenty of more intelligent people that came up with this. You can hold them in the backfield. They can hold an objective, and that's a really good way for them to do that, especially considering there's still like these like talks and rumors about what does it mean to hold an objective and what do backline troops do and like what's that whole point.
Right.
The other thing is that if you're facing a psychic army, they're actually pretty nice to have. So it's like, okay, I'm facing a psychic army. They're in front of my army and they're behind cover. So they're protected and they're going to be blocking shit out. And then it's like, oh, I'm fighting anybody else. They're in the back and they're holding my back line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they're actually nasty enough where like, if you take the ones with the great swords, or even the flamer ones, you don't want to mess around with them if you get in combat. I mean, so you can position yourself defensively well enough.
Right.
To be like, hey, if you come into my backfield, I'm going to screw you up just enough.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's it. Tom said he was going to stop 20 minutes ago. He's still talking.
Oh, okay. So I only missed Tom talking. Good.
Only missed Tom talking for the last 30 minutes. So.
Hey, man, those players who listen will be happy.
At the end of the day, I just want to point out, I now know why Adam smiled 5 minutes ago when he thought that joke. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I'm going to get Tom so good. Yes.
You made the classic blunder. You never invade Russia in winter, and you never claim this isn't the last thing I'm going to say.
Too true.
Or tell us you're going to be on in 5 minutes.
I said reasons.
You did.
Besides, reasons. Time's just a construct, man. Just, like, go with it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Guess Fallen the Dead.
So Danny's back on for a very specific reason.
Yes.
As those that have been listening or watching, we are planning on creating or building a Necron army in celebration of the new edition, mm-hmm. especially because models look really
good. And celebration of the return of the Silent King.
Yes. Yes. So we had a little contest between the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us got to put two entries in. I'm not going to name names.
John. No, the second one was the show colors.
That was... oddly left out of the running notes.
Adam knew it.
I knew.
Yeah, yeah. So it's your candidate, not the people who voted.
The guy in charge knew, but nobody knew that I had done too. Nobody knew the show one was done by me.
Yeah.
We have five.
That's so illogical.
It's not illogical. The show one is just the show one. Nobody knew. Nobody knew that somebody had double entries except for you guys.
Yeah, nobody knew who painted which entry.
That doesn't change the point that it rigged the outcome.
It did not rig the outcome. We had the show colors as one of the colors.
That's Let's just go through the tallies and
see what the data is. Fucking embarrassing. I'll tell you that right now.
John has been keeping tabs, and thank everybody that looked at the models and voted.
Yes.
So John, give us the tallies. Let's go from worst to first.
Okay, we can do that.
Oh, I was worst, wasn't I?
Hold on. I gotta
open the
document again. All right.
And they were randomized. Nobody, and I mean, we knew what numbers were ours, but everyone who voted did.
Right, everybody who voted. So last place with three votes. No, with one vote was number three, which I believe was the show colors.
That was the show colors.
Okay, well, yeah. So.
Is that a sign we need to update our branding?
No.
No, it just makes for kind of a boring Necron.
They just don't look good on Necrons.
Red, gold, white, black.
Knights, they look great.
Yeah. No,
it's not.
Fourth place with 11 and a half
votes. How do you get half a vote?
11.5%, I'm sorry. 11.5%.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Which is seven votes, I believe, was Tom's.
He was so proud of that scheme too.
I thought it was cool.
I liked it. It was cool. Third place with 13.1% of the vote was Adam's number five.
Right in the middle.
Number five was Adam.
With that extra saucy base.
Yes, the extra saucy base. Second place with 21.3% of the vote was my teal one, number two, the teal Marines. Or the teal Marines, the teal Necrons, which is kind of like the Necrons I had done before, but updated a little bit. And then with 52.5% of the vote, the winning Necron was number four, the Sandcron.
Sandcron.
Danny Sandcron. So congratulations. That is going to be the paint scheme for the TFG Radio Army. Which is, I'm going to say, it's not a bad paint job. It's not a bad scheme. I like it.
Hashtag not my Necron Dynasty.
Too bad. The cool thing is that there's a little bit of gold, so if we do a Silent King who's majority gold, like the Silent King kind of is,
it would play
it'll
really
still
well.
Fit well with the rest of the army.
Right.
It won't look out of place. An all-gold Silent King, like he's going to look like, or Brassy, would look kind of out of place with, like, my paint scheme or Adam's.
Mm-hmm.
So
not to mention which this will also let Danny secretly sneak in some Ossiarch Bone Reapers into the army, and we won't know.
It's true. He totally could, and we wouldn't realize it.
Hey, I mean, those are cool models too.
They are. Cool models, they are gorgeous. I
would be surprised if he uses them for both systems.
I do really like the choppy, the big choppy destroyers now, or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's gonna be a fun paint scheme to paint. I've already thought of ideas of what I want to do with mine.
We're not gonna have one person do it all.
Nah, we should just all do our own. Whatever.
We'll do your own.
We all did our own knights.
No, fair point.
You know, mine of course looked the best, and
Tibbs and the Silent King.
You can have your own Silent King.
Yeah. So. Because we were talking earlier before the show started, Tom, I think I'm going to get 3 of the starter boxes through various channels.
I will give you any of the writer's credit I have in one of those channels. If I have it. That'll be my participation, because I'm not going to be able to swing it on my own.
Yeah.
I think I'd be getting 2, maybe.
I'm going to eBay the stuff that I don't want out of it. Like, I mean, I'm obviously not going to keep triple of all of the different characters and stuff, you know? So, like, I don't need 3 of those Judicator Baby Marine Executioner guys. I only need 1. I don't need 3 of the rule books.
John, Clopfoot is looking where he can see all the Necron paint jobs.
Oh, okay. Let me get that up into the chat in a second. I can do that. I can add that real quick. I just gotta... Okay.
Yeah, I realized my paint job was too dark.
We're not dark enough.
I'm doing
a really heavy black, and then just have the glow be really like a white glow coming out from the carapace. But I was like, that would take too fucking long to do well.
Mm-hmm. I think my scheme would take too long also. It didn't take that long actually, but I mean.
Mine didn't take me that long, but the thing is like.
It was bad.
Oh, thanks. No, it was... I could see the gray plastic. I'm looking at the screen. I could see the unprimered gray there behind the collar.
Hey, man, the people didn't care. And we all
know, I know.
We all know my fucking opinion of the people.
So, fair point.
I love the people. 52% of the people, at least.
52% of the people you love. All the rest of the people you don't.
I know half as you as much as I would like, and I like half as you as much as you deserve.
Half as well as you deserve.
Oh, that's it.
Okay, let me see. Let's see. I know I can do this. Okay.
I like how mine is the one that's sneezing in the picture.
Nice. Yeah, window. That's not the window I wanted you to capture. That's Facebook. That's the one I want you to capture. Cool.
Okay. I'm happy that anyone, despite John's attempts to sabotage the rest of us.
I did not try to sabotage anybody.
So can we just, so for 2020, I am the best hobbyist of the podcast? Is that what this means?
Sure.
As long as you don't build the model, yes.
Until I finish painting the Radio Eldar army, then yes, until then.
Oh yeah, we still have that. We still have the,
I paint armies on commission, I'm just saying.
And you lost not once but twice, dog. You know what I'm saying?
You may have lost twice.
You had 2 entries.
I did not have 2 entries. The red one doesn't count.
Sure.
If I knew enough about politics, I would find an allegory and shove it down your throat.
Whatever. I still beat you.
So
I'm the Irish. I always get beaten.
So anyways, the guy who was asking in the chat, it goes left to right 1 through 5.
Yeah. Mine was number 5.
Yes. Mine was number 1.
Yes.
Number 1 in my heart.
Mine was number 2. The show one was number 3. And Dan's was number 4.
You'll know John's number 2 has a nicer positioning, arm positioning, than some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. Like Tom's.
Oh, yeah. I got dicked on my position.
What happens when you pick last on the court, buddy?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're alluding to.
Well, it's just funny when Adam says, oh yeah, I'll pick up our models and Tom, I'll bring you yours. I looked at the
models. I'm pretty sure Danny's actually, if you look at it, I'm pretty sure I put the neck thing on backwards because the head's looking so far up. Like normally, normally their heads aren't that far up. I think I might have put the neck thing on backwards.
Maybe.
Because the neck also, piece is separate. So in the Lich Guard, the neck piece is literally separate. It's ridiculous. It's this tiny little neck piece that you put in between the two, the chest and the back place piece.
I was also going to accuse you of doing the arm sword upside down, but then I realized, wait, that's the thumbs there.
That's one of the cooler ones. The sword being held like that, I like that one.
Yeah, the Darth Sion style, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
No, I like, especially with the head tilt up, I was like, oh, it's the cool Necron.
Yeah.
Sup? It works out. I just think I literally do think I did that wrong. I think I put it on backwards.
Right for Danny, because he won.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Congrats to Danny.
Good job. I'm going to have fun painting a bunch of Sand Necrons.
Yeah, Sand Necrons. Maybe I'll give you the Silent King to paint, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I'll totally do it.
Yeah, just make it gold. Beautiful, beautiful gold.
I love gold.
Lints in a bung?
So we have...
Yep, and we're back in the show notes.
Listener questions.
Always.
What?
Well, we only had one.
Oh, thank God.
No, I like listener questions. I care about the people.
Didn't vote for me.
We've already, if you have
this is why I won.
This is probably weird. But they didn't know who it was. They just assumed.
If you have questions in the chat, go ahead and ask them now. For those of you that are listening on the podcast when this comes out and don't know what we're talking about in regards to the Necrons, make sure you just go to the YouTube or go to the Facebook page. John will have the picture of the winner, at least, up there.
Well, there will be a picture also in our TFG Patreon members only group, I would assume, yes.
They should be already on the Facebook page.
So,
the least number of votes was the show colors, the red colors, Fuse Head.
That's what I get for trying to plug the Patreon.
Yeah, it is. We don't do that here.
I know, right? We tend to forget we have one.
I'm Black Panther. We don't do that here.
Talk about it, the less taxes I have to pay.
We don't put half of our episodes behind a Patreon. We don't put articles behind the Patreon.
We don't mention it every 30 seconds.
We don't mention it every 30 seconds. We don't say like and share. Please follow.
Remember, smash that like button and subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Tell
your
friends.
Please go to my fans only page.
I did put John's latest.
Please give to our campaign to afford the new Necron construct for my Necron army. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
GoFundMe.
Yeah, please go to my GoFundMe for my army.
I am once again asking for your Patreon dollars.
Mm-hmm. I did put John's latest reenactment costume, which combined 40K and his love of 40K with his love of reenactment.
That's the fucking worst.
On the Patreon only.
Fusehead, the show color Necron was painted by me, and the one that got second place was painted by me. First place was Danny. Third place was Adam.
Yay.
And fourth place was Tom.
I'm going to say last place was Tom, since the Tom's show colors don't count.
Sure.
I think there was like three shows where like I actually felt like I was equal to you guys for a minute, and it felt really nice. And I'm just like living there, like it's like my psychological headspace, like where I can stay happy.
Gotta get up. Hey, we gotta get you up to get you down, brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay, man. I get it.
This is what you get for having hope.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
So again, congratulations, Danny. Mm-hmm. One of the Again, if you have questions in the chat, go ahead and ask. In the in our Patreon group, we have one question, and that's from Adam, not me, who's asking, everyone's talking about the way these new rules are written. So looking forward, from all you English majors, which is basically Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom, right? Or Tom's philosophy.
He's philosophy, so that doesn't...
That's pretty close.
I'm an English major by proxy.
By proxy. Nice.
I bet you he had to diagram sentences too. So
yes, we did.
Basically, everyone's thoughts on the wordiness of some of the rules that we've been seeing.
All right. So,
I think English major have the floor. Well, English professor. I'm sorry, English professor, not major.
Let me just. How do I say this? So, English is an incredibly imprecise language, right? Like. We have one word that's supposed to convey 10, 15 different meanings, right? Depending on context, you know, and you can just look at our context of like love, right? We have literally one verb, love, that can stand in for all the different kinds of love. While most other languages have multiple words, we only have one word for existence, for is, right? Is, was, whatever. You look at other languages, they have two or three or sometimes even five different words for different kinds of existence. Are you temporarily sick? Are you permanently sick? You know, things like that. So for English to be precise, it has to be really fucking wordy, right? Like you have to say a lot to really, really, really specify exactly what you mean. And that's like the exact opposite of how GW has written rules for the last 30 years, right? Like their rules have been written with like, "Oi, mate, let's just have a pint and we'll roll some dice and, we'll see what the fuck happens." And now we're, you know, at this where you can tell they care about competitive play of here are very precise rules that there is a lot of words to them because they want to be as specific as possible of this is what that means, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you've never read material like that, it's totally jarring. If you're used to GW's rules writing, at least the last 10 years, I want to say, it's really jarring. I mean, you look at like second edition rules and I don't know why people complain about now, right?
Like, for real.
I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things like look at second edition and look at how you actually damage a vehicle and then come back to me with like dense cover. What is this?
Yep.
I still have those second edition rules. We should play a game.
Yeah, see. But I get, it is a lot of reading. And I get that, but if you actually just, it's one of those things of, I bet as we play, most people will kind of get over it because it's, a lot of it is relatively like, this is how we've done it anyway. They're just spelling things out more. But part of, again, inherently the problem with that is you're going to get a lot of people who read the first part of the sentence and then jump to the end. They're like, okay, I know it. And then don't realize like, wow, I've got to read the whole thing to actually understand what is being asked of me here.
Yeah, there's some great memes about that too.
Yeah, the nice thing at least is they've already said they're going to have examples, but more importantly, they have like with the Overwatch, they had bullet points for you to look at.
That's a thing that we've seen in all of the published rules we've seen, right? Like all of the spoilers, they have bullet points under each section, which kind of give you a quick sum up. Which is good, although that we're going to get into that problem, I guarantee you, of people who only read the bullet points and there's going to be some nuance that they miss that they're going to be like, well, I thought that's how it worked. And it's like, you got to read the full thing too.
Wait. The way there's rules above the bullet points?
Yeah. The way they described it to me, or the way it, not described it to me, the way it was described was the bullet points is basically for just regular play, and the wordy part is really just for when something weird happens, some weird interaction that not covered by the bullet points, then you refer to the long paragraph, and that should hopefully, fingers crossed, cover whatever situation comes up.
But the man said that I would have Overwatch if I spent a command point.
Yeah, so I mean,
just play Tau, Tom.
You know, no, the problem is even with...
We already established Tom can't play Tau because Tom doesn't know how to do deployment.
Yeah, deployment's my worst, but also because, like, even when I do figure it out, I'm like, I don't know, I want an army that's dynamic. I want the unicorn army, one that I'll be really good at and that's fun to play. Never happened. Don't worry, give me enough time, I'll slay myself.
So basically, it's just a product of the competitive community anyway. Mm-hmm. Having a say, so to speak, with especially with a lot of the playtesters coming from the competitive scene, in addition to playtesters from the more narrative scene.
Well, I was going to say too, right? It makes sense to really make these rules refined, especially when they're pushing a whole new narrative system called Crusade, and a lot of people are really hyped about that. A lot of people are really jazzed about that. And you're going to start seeing narrative leagues, I think, you know, start popping up more and people really getting into that. And you know what? Sure, it's not competitive, but it's narrative. It's like, that's my army of bros that I want to live and get special cool bonuses. So I don't want them to die because you gimmicked the rules. Right. I want them to die because they died gloriously, not because you're a grognard son of a bitch.
Yeah, it seems like Games Workshop has taken up that. In this edition, putting a lot of focus on the narrative, in addition to basically cleaning up, and so to speak, the rules from the previous edition, which entails having to use a lot of words to try to almost cover everything that they can think of they can cover. If anyone's played any historical games, especially if you look up one called Debellis Antiquitatis, that's a very technical rule book, and it reads like a technical handbook. It's very bland, it's very boring, but it's very technical, and they have an appendix where they cover a lot of the side edge cases.
I mean, that just sounds like one of Cicero's proses, which is already just insane. So, I mean, I can see that. I don't know.
It can put you to
sleep. Oh, did you say Cicero?
Oh, dude, I hate Cicero so much.
I'm just saying, what kind of education did you have that you would pronounce his name as Cicero?
The kind that's not
American.
Dumb.
How's it pronounced?
Huh? Kikaro.
No.
In the Greek, again, you use a Greek pronunciation key for actual Latin, because that's probably closer than Latin itself than
it's
what
good
we
thing
have
I
now.
Don't teach about him.
Yeah, I'll split the difference and I'll say Kisero.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, just really confuse people.
Oh man, that would be amazing. Hey, have you read
Mr. W. What's philosophy?
Order?
Shut up.
Yeah. Anyway. I will say with the rules of them being longer, I think part of this people are forgetting of, like, when they did 8th and, like, oh man, only 8 pages of rules, like,
yeah,
super simple. And it's like, yes, with 300 plus pages of FAQ. And if you read a lot of this stuff, you can see literally they're like, okay, here's the simple rule. Now here's the FAQ we know we would have to put down for it to clarify exactly what it means to keep people from rules lawyering the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. Right, like,
so this is like a preemptive official FAQ.
Yeah, essentially,
all rules that are over 3 sentences long are going to be said to have gotten the Michael Snyder treatment from now on.
And it's just, I think something I saw, I think it was on Twitter, that was very true of just like, you know, posting up the dense cover rule and then just having a picture of like some, you know, fedora wearing Grognar and, you know, being, you know, with a rules book being just like, rules lawyers, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So someone asked, let me get to that.
Yeah, I apologize to the people in the chat. I muted my microphone, but I only muted it for Discord and not OBS. So they heard me typing as I was putting out the post for TFG Radio. I put out the post with the results.
Oh, for the...
So it's the picture of the 5 Necrons and then the one, and then I put out the announcement post. So my bad.
See, superior.
I'm sorry, guys.
I find your furious typing and angry typing to be kind of part of your charm. I've actually been sad ever since you've muted it.
No, it's fine.
You know what I hate, though? And I'm going to go off on it for a second.
Because, you know what really grinds my gears?
You know what grinds my gears? Because we talked about this before the show began, and it just happened in Discord like 5 times while we've been doing the show, which is people in Discord servers doing the at everybody.
Oh, yeah, so, I've seen that pop up already a couple times on my
side. Stop doing it. Not everybody cares about what you have to post. Don't do at everybody. It's so freaking annoying to open Discord and have, like, a bunch of these red dots and it's, like, 5 of them. You go to it, it's at everybody. And it's in some part of the server you don't give a shit about.
So it's funny you mention that, just because the only reason that happened, because I'm part of that same Discord, too. The only reason that happened is because they're literally trying to fix it. So they just said, at everyone... This is what's happening.
I know. I read it, but it's like, stop doing it.
Well, that's the point. They're stopping. They're stopping doing it.
Oh, it's dumb to do it more.
The best part was the, hey, sorry for pinging everybody. And then, sorry for pinging everybody. Sorry for pinging. If you know it's annoying, stop doing it.
All I know is that this is one of those moments where, like, I would want to hear John type, because I'd hear the typing. I'd hear him, like, be like, for my last email.
I've left the Discord servers over this. Because
oh,
it's
I know.
Just super
as well,
annoying.
You should.
Like,
you've done it.
I don't care about every little thing going on in every little part of this Discord server. So if you run a game store and you have a Discord server for your game store, don't at everybody all the time, because it's annoying. It'll make me not want to shop there.
So you're telling me to add you to every Discord and at everybody at every Discord. Gotcha.
No, I'll just leave every Discord you add me to.
Add John to every Discord.
Well, don't worry, John. That was literally the last time, according to their own. So you should be fine.
Oh, I'm super confident that's the last time, Tom. So
moving on, next question. So Fusehead is asking, how do we feel about the edition rollout versus previous rollouts? Are you excited as this one for S4?
I hate the way they're doing it.
Why? How else are they going to do it? Just not say anything for months?
Fourth edition style, just White Dwarf preview a month away.
Yeah, the way they used to do it was more or less like Danny just described. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, you know, White Dwarf say, hey, guess what's happening next month? That's a new edition.
Yeah, I don't...
Maybe 2 months.
They give you things in too piecemeal of a fashion. Like, give general descriptions of how things are going to work. Not necessarily the full thing. Like, by giving full rules and small snippets, they're creating more angst towards it. And they're drawing it out way too much. Like, it should be literally like, hey, the edition is being released this date. For the next couple weeks, we're going to preview some stuff.
So you'd rather see no content than stretch content?
No, stretch the content, but have an actual date where it ends. Like, so I know.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. I mean, I feel like we'd all feel better about kind of the drip-drip process of this if we knew, like, okay, it's releasing... Pre-orders are this weekend, releasing this thing. And they can even say because of, you know, especially because of the, you know, the whole COVID thing of like, we may have to delay, you know, shipping or whatever, you know, please bear with us. We, you know, we're restarting the supply chain, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I think everyone, or at least most rational people would be like, okay, that's fine. But this whole, like, we're just going to get faction focus and more pieces of tiny pieces until whenever,
yeah,
right? Like, that's really odd.
Well, if they do it long enough, we can just piece the whole rule book together just from the faction focus teases.
The problem is it's creating more animosity than it is, like, actual hype.
Yeah, the...
When did At least among the...
They announced in May.
The Elite.
The end of May. It's only been like a month. It seems like forever, but it's only been like a month.
Time has no meaning right now.
Adam, I swear to fucking God, if this red number one in Discord is you at everybody in our Discord server.
I know who's doing it, and it wasn't me. If there's one other person who would do it, and
son
you know who.
Son of a bitch.
Ever let people see a sweat, man.
Yeah, when they did the same thing in 8th, when 8th edition was announced, they announced it at... Adepticon,
yeah.
And then they released it in June, so it was like a 3-month period, and they did the same thing.
Yeah, but so I think that was such a big changeover. Mm-hmm. There was no being mad about every little change because it was like you had no idea what the edition was. The edition was totally new, and they made it clear from the beginning: this is a brand new edition. Everything's being thrown out. You're going to get all new indexes. Upfront. Everything was new. You couldn't like be like, oh, that's dumb because of this. And you're like, well, I don't really know how any of this is going to work.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean initiative's gone?
Right. How do I do combat? Well, exactly. You're going to find out how you do combat. Like, it was very different, I feel like. I feel like this is much worse.
Well, especially, I think the hardest part of it is not having a clear, this is when it's coming, right?
Yeah.
You know, that would help.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there is something to be said of don't actually release specific rules without their proper context, right?
Right.
Because like, you know, even we've been talking about like, oh, Overwatch has changed and everyone's like, well, fuck Tau. And then all of a sudden Tau's back. It's, you know, even that is meaningless without point values, right? Like, and that's what every time people complain to me and say like, this is dead or this isn't going to work. It's like, well, do you know how much it's going to cost? Cause we know points are going up, but. Unless it's a like flat 20% increase on everybody with no variance, it's impossible to say what the game will look like.
Yeah, we already know that's not going to be the case.
For anyone else who's wondering, this is actually a really good example of how the stock market works. I'm just throwing that out there.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Yep, and based on half-truths, I'm making buying or purchasing decisions which affect an economy. But let's just keep going.
That's all right. Right. I agree with that.
Just remember, when the stock market goes up, you don't make any more money. But when it goes down, you sure as hell can get fired.
That's right.
That has happened to me before.
Yep.
Yeah. And when I left, they gave me stock. That went further down.
Oh, boy.
That just sounds like they were offloading debt.
Yes, seriously.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't do all the math on that one just now, but that was my first thought.
Yeah, so I can't remember when did they announce a date for 8th edition when it released, when they announced it?
No, said summer, but they didn't say when.
They gave at least a rough time frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They gave a rough time frame, and they didn't really say very much about it until the month before, and then it was just all articles on articles about it. And so that was a much more condensed time frame, which is why I think people were much more okay with that. Like, for me personally, I understand just from a business and marketing perspective why they're doing what they're doing. I just think that, and it's so like on paper what they're doing makes sense. But I absolutely agree it is frustrating and it's annoying. Especially when it's like, oh, there's an article? Do I care about it? I mean, yeah, I do, but am I actually getting anything out of this article or what's happening? You know, it's.
I think some of the articles are exceedingly well written.
I really, really hated that Tyranids one. Just a bunch of butt-kiss.
Yeah. But, oh, the guy who wrote it's an asshole, I'm sure.
Nah.
I have it on good reputation that you've said he is, so.
Anyway, I mean,
I'm looking forward to future faction focus.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I am too. I mean, I'll read them and I'll be excited to read them, and that's my point. But like John was saying, and I think what we've all said is that from the perspective of players who want to have a sense of how the game works, especially considering we're so starved for the game or anything like that, that's what it is. It's like, well, tell me more. Cause we don't even have the joy of speculation. You know, like we don't even have the, like, you know, back in the 8th, you could be like, oh, list building and this and that and blah, 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 and like theory hammer. And that's a legitimate part of the game insofar as you can talk about it. Cause all the rules are there. You know everything. But in what we've been told is a new edition. So there's no point in doing that in 8th. And then we don't know the full rules of it. Mm-hmm. We're being given it piecemeal and we're getting things that are contradicting other things and not necessarily contradicting. It's just like a whole other thing. So it's like, you know, it's just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't, and the same thing happened, when 7th transitioned to 8th. I don't see a lot of people playing or planning to play until, the new edition drops.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I think this would maybe go over a little better if we were all still seeing each other every Tuesday and playing games and being like, well, we're at least still, like, there's tournaments to go to. And it's like, okay, well, let's say goodbye to 8th properly. Right now, we're just like, we have nothing.
Yeah.
I'd be part of it, too.
Yeah. Although, I to be that asshole, I do wonder, like, what the analytics are on GW's side. Because, like, you know, we can complain about this and other podcasts and competitive players can complain about this. But, like, you know, you're talking 5 to 10% of the GW population, right? Like, of the consumer base. So it'd be really interesting to see, like, how many views do they get? Do they see any noticeable increase in page views on their actual website based on, like, what the faction focus is, right? Like, so whether this is successful or not, I don't know if we'll ever know. I just hope they're actually tracking that data to see, like, for when they're doing 10th or whatever it's going to be, that they actually learn from this of like, oh no, you know, podcasts will bitch about it, but this is actually the best mechanism because we increased engagement and, you know, eyes on our main shopping tool.
And that's why I said, yeah. And that's why I said, like, on paper, it totally makes sense what they're doing. Like, that's a business thing. But just like, yeah.
Yeah. Cause experienced players don't find, to be honest, from what I've read, experienced players don't find the articles very helpful. Because it's a lot of the same strats and things like that. There's nothing new that they could see that can show them what's coming with the new edition. But I think it's geared more towards newer players to help them transition over from one edition to the other.
Or just more casual players. I mean, again, I think it's, you know, part of the things that we can lose touch with, I think, when we're, you know, thinking about competitive play, because that's where we're focused on, at least from the judging aspect, is I remember during the ex-comming of, you know, John Lennon of, at last LVO, where, you know, like this statistically very unlikely thing happened to him. And, you know, you're at like the semifinals of fucking LVO and it's a major deal and, you know, understandably pretty crushing, but, you know, on the other side of the convention hall was like 200 people like laughing and watching a game where some crazy shit happened, probably another statistical anomaly, and everyone's cheering and laughing. And like, that's just really what it boils down to is like those 200 people who didn't care who's at the top table of LVO didn't care. And they see something crazy like, oh my God, that fucker wouldn't die. that becomes a story to tell. That becomes a part of the social experience. It's enjoyable, right? Like, and these are people who, again, will not ever try to be an ITC champion, who will not ever try to, you know, be quote unquote competitive, but those are the majority of the player base, right? And I think that's who those articles are geared towards, is like, you know, like, oh yeah, I find it's like, oh shit, you can, it's like, that sounds kind of cool. Maybe I'll pick up a Dark Eldar army. That seems like it's fun.
Yeah, so we'll still see those faction articles, at least for the foreseeable future. They haven't let us know an official yet, so we'll just
have to... We still have a lot of factions to go through.
Yes.
There's like a 20, bunch still to go.
20-something factions?
Yeah.
Can we count through them?
Which makes me wonder just how far away 9th edition is.
Well, they're doing one every day, and that includes weekends.
Yeah, so they'll be through in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're already gone. It's already been like one or
they've
two.
They've done one every day. I thought they weren't doing them on the days when they had the other reveals.
No, they've been doing them with the reveals now, too.
And they had the Plague Marines on Nurgle, Death Guard on Sunday.
In fact, some of the reveals are lined up with the faction focus. So when they did the Twitch show today about Tau, that was also when they did the Tau faction focus.
Mm-hmm.
So like they've been syncing it up, and they've done, I think, six.
Six?
So Tau, Death Guard, Tyranids,
Astra Militarum, Orcs, Adeptus Mechanicus,
Admech, Necrons.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, they did Necrons.
Space Marines. Didn't they do Space Marines too?
I think as a whole, yeah, they did Space Marines.
Yeah, that was, who wrote that one? That was, he's not a kid anymore. But he was when he was competing at a really, really high level.
I know who you're talking about, but I forgot.
He was using Najal's Thorcaller before a lot of people were. Remember that in 5th?
Ganyo.
No, it's not Ganyo.
Ganyo did Sisters. Didn't we see Sisters already?
Yeah.
I think we did see Sisters. Yeah, he did Sisters.
Shoot, why am I blanking on this guy's name?
We're almost like a third of the way through.
Yeah, actually, I don't see it being that much longer.
Then what are they going to do?
Release the game.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was literally going to say release the damn edition.
Let's hope.
Mr. Needlessly Malicious is asking, what is Danny's chest tattoo? if you're not watching the stream, Danny's showing a lot of chest, very chesty today.
that's only for my OnlyFans. Sorry, that's
extra. It's on OnlyFans.
That's for TFG After Hours.
So now we're gonna get banned from Twitch now. Danny's showing chest.
Way to lose our monetization, Danny.
Yeah, well, but it helps my monetization, so
that's true.
On his OnlyFans, that's true. Yeah.
That's true. Can't fault you there.
Tony Kopack. That's who it was. It was Tony Kopack.
Oh, right. Tony.
Tony Kopack. That's who wrote it. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm glad to say that I lived to the moment that we became a just chatting channel.
So, just a last bit of news. Last episode, we discussed what's going on with the stores recently. Our store that we normally go to closed.
Store Wars 2020, worst timeline.
Death of the owner, in addition to, and then COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Since then, there were at one point, I believe, 4 people vying for the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's down to 1. So there is a store that's going to open at that spot. It's called Odyssey Games.
Mm-hmm.
So once they open, we'll see how it goes. In addition, there is another store opening up nearby called Gameology Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
It was also opening. So
Store Wars, worst wars.
Went from 1 to 0 to now 2. So
hashtag blessed.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes. We're still planning for Hammer Wrath at the end of September, if all things go well in regards to COVID. And more importantly... I did price out the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I saw those numbers.
We were priced out, so I think we're gonna have it, someplace local. Well,
we have 2 stores now.
I already decided where we're gonna have it.
And we get 2 Christmases now, guys.
Oh no.
We do.
2 Christmases then. Yeah, this only lasts until one of the stores dies. I mean, come on.
I already informed the people who are going to have it. This assumes we get permission from the city and county.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll get that soon. Hopefully everybody's taking care of themselves.
Slaughterfest got canceled. WarGamesCon canceled.
It got postponed.
Postponed.
Yeah, everybody's postponing, which is the fancy word for we canceled.
Slaughterfest was moved to November.
Yeah.
Didn't realize. WarGamesCon
was moved to next year.
I didn't realize you became slander, John.
I know.
It's not slander. It's just the facts.
It's libel, Tom, not slander. There's a difference.
I'm in favor of presenting things as they are and allowing the audience to make their own decision.
So teach the controversy.
This is the opposite of that. This is like news the old way. You just present the facts, and then people get to make their own decision about the facts. The events were canceled and moved.
But is canceling and then moving it, like...
I know what he's saying. The dates were canceled, but not the event.
There you go, see?
See, John is leaving out crucial information because he's just like current news.
Yeah.
I'm just auditioning to be on Fox, all right, guys?
Or CNN.
They've desperately needed somebody to take Bill O'Reilly's spot for years. And I've got the right complexion.
Slaughterfest, the dates were canceled, but there are new dates, which is the beginning of November.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2 weeks before SoCal, right? Or after SoCal?
After. So, and then we'll have to see if SoCal still is going to happen. So
And WarGamesCon's dates were canceled, but it was only changed to the following year.
See, that one I'll say is canceled, because if you're changing years, that's just like
They use the term postponed in their announcement, Tom. Are you going to call them liars?
I would drive over to your house. And then I will be happy I'm near another person, and then I'll just hang out.
You see, I played the long con with this one.
And then I'll remember why I drove over there and want to slap you, but then you will have given me a lot to drink, and at that point I won't care anymore.
It's true.
So I'll be there in 10.
Now we're fortunate to have two stores. And like Danny said, we get two Christmases.
You forgot the air quotes when you said fortunate. Only one store's Discord has not at everyone 15 times in the last 5 hours.
That's because their Discord is not brand new. And their Discord is basically their
being new
store.
Doesn't make you... nobody from that works at that other store? Had none of them ever used Discord before and realized how heinously annoying at everyone is?
I'm going to say no.
Well, that actually means
they send you a screenshot of the Discord invitation link.
That was the best.
Oh yeah,
one of the stores sent a screenshot of the invitation link instead of just sending you the invitation link.
So then you can't say anything about either store, John.
Yeah, I'm saying all I want about whoever because I already said I'm not picking sides.
No, I know.
I'm gonna play.
I'm store agnostic.
Whichever store has the tournament on the weekend I can make it to, that's the one I'm going to.
That's usually how it is for most people.
So.
That are blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag blessed. So we'll just call it there.
Yeah.
Danny, any last words?
Smoke weed every day? I don't know.
God. All right.
Not winter chicken dinner. Which would be fitting for you.
Old school reference. Okay. Yeah.
No school like the old school, man.
Tom, anything to add?
It was a good day.
All right, I see where this is going. John!
Today was a good day.
No, he says it was a good day. I just listened to it like 2 days ago. The song's called It Was a Good Day. Or Today's a Good Day.
John!
Mixes it up at one point.
Anything to put to make Tom stop talking?
Shut up, Adam.
Bye, Felicia.
An appropriate response.
All right, with that said, good night, everybody, and have a pleasant tomorrow.